I think one might be forgiven to come to the conclusion that as feast days go, Ascension is something of a narrative nothing burger. Christmas. Shepherds, angels, a woman giving birth in a barn. Good Friday, a highly politicized trial ends with torture and crucifixion. Easter, women risk detention to tend to the dead body of an enemy of the state, only to find the tomb unsealed and emptied. In comparison, you know, that heart that your barista at Starbucks draws in froth on the surface of your latte, that may have more narrative staying power than the image of Jesus disappearing into the clouds. Support for this comes from religious art. Most depictions of the ascension of Jesus are unremarkable. I preached and served in a church in Vermont for 6 years that had a kind of church supply house stock painting of the ascension of Jesus. He was a white man, interestingly, wearing a pink robe, and he was in the air, but at a distance where I could comfortably grab his ankles if I wished. Other depictions, soles of the feet. That tells you something. If you're talking strictly about ascension. At the same time, the feast of the Ascension will now, always, mark an anniversary here at University Lutheran. The anniversary of a mother who, with a toddler and a baby still in arms, moved in to our second floor seeking sanctuary. That was this weekend, 2 years ago. This past week, Wednesday, the day before technical Feast of the Ascension, I was at the Smith Center finishing up my lunch and had the privilege of hanging out with Nestor Pimienta and Alfredo Garcia, leaders of the Sanctuary Coalition. Leaders without whom the coalition would never have really come to birth, I am quite sure. And because of the timing, we were remembering how things got started. Remembering that it was our HDS intern, Chris Rood, who came to me and then came to the council and then to the congregation expressing hope that UniLU would explore offering some kind of support to someone in danger of being deported. He was thinking especially of a classmate. And the seeds of this hope in Chris had been planted in him by Nestor Alfredo and Gabby Chavez. Some may also remember that Chris put this hope before us on the first Sunday in Advent 2017. He placed before us the question, what if ICE came after an undocumented student or anyone else for that matter? What would UniLU do? Wednesday, looking back over this with Nestor and Alfredo, I all too casually summed up UniLU's readiness to become a sanctuary, a host congregation, saying something like, well, UniLU had 35 years of experience offering shelter to vulnerable people. We had space on the second floor, and we even had showers. The shower remark caused Nestor's face to break out in this amazing smile. And he went on to say this, "Let me tell you about showers." And he described how in those very early days of the formation of the coalition, he and Rachie Lewis, a member of Cambridge Minion, went church to church, seeing if there might be other churches and synagogues interested in joining this emergent sanctuary coalition. And Nestor said that he and Rachie came to expect, after a few of these visits, something they called the shower moment. The visits generally began because with optimism, the churches invited them in because they were interested. They were committed to social justice. They knew that something had to be done. And the idea of supporting immigrants was very compelling. The idea. Nestor told me that inevitably, as this conversation unfolded, the shower moment would happen. Someone would stand up and say that, "Oh, we really want to be involved. We want to do everything we can. But as far as actually hosting a family in sanctuary, we can't do that. We don't have a shower." Now, after sharing that, Nestor wanted me to know that from his perspective, it was never the showers that made it possible for UNILU to be a sanctuary church. Instead, from his perspective, it was the spirit of the UNILU community. It was the spirit of every member of the staff and the spirit of the people. A spirit that accepted that when you are going to stand with vulnerable people, you have to be willing to become vulnerable yourself. And being vulnerable means taking risks. It was never the shower in the basement. And I guess he was right, because some of you remember that there was a homeless shelter here and there were no showers in the basement, and then somebody said, "We need showers." And you installed them. It wasn't about UNILU having showers that made us ready to answer the call to shelter Anna, Brianna, and Erica. It was the spirit of living vulnerability for the sake of another that supplied and still supplies us with all the power that we needed. On this second anniversary of Ascension in Sanctuary, the middle of last week, I really needed to hear what was from Nestor to me, a very powerful sermon. And it sent me back to look at the Ascension narrative, and this time instead of focusing on the end of the episode, the technical Ascension, instead of focusing on the soles of Jesus' feet, I went back and considered very, very carefully his last words. And I considered them in a new way, speaking of sermons, because of what I had heard Pastor Moyo say in the 9 o'clock service a couple weeks ago when he was looking at the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and he was talking about these are Jesus' last words, and it was in the 9 o'clock service that he told a longer story about his father and how he was home because he was in transition, about to go to seminary, and very unexpectedly, his father became very ill. And his father was taken to the local hospital in their community in Zimbabwe. And because his condition worsened, they took him to the nearest larger city and to that hospital. And one of many children, Gracious was the one who was there. And so he could accompany his father, and he got to the next hospital with him, and he was sitting with his father, and his father was, after some time in the hospital, hours, maybe a day, his father was sitting up. His father was speaking fairly robustly, and Gracious was thinking, ah, he's getting better. And he spoke to his eldest brother, and he reported that his father was doing better. But then sitting with his father kept saying, "Where's your brother?" Meaning, "Where's your oldest brother?" To which Gracious said, "He's coming, but he has to be at work." And so the next hours he spent with his father began with great animation telling him stories about his own life, about his family's life, telling him things that Gracious had never heard before. And then he said goodnight to his father and left, expecting to see him the next day, but he didn't, because his father died. Some of you know that it works this way, that there's this resurgence of life right before death, precisely because there are important things to say. And hearing him talk about that really changed how I think of the final discourse of the Gospel of John, and was with me as I was looking at this ascension passage, and instead of focusing on the soles of Jesus' feet, which the angels come to say, "What are you doing that for anyway?" I listened to the words of Jesus, which are very simple. Jesus said, "John baptized with water." These are the last words to the disciples. They're about water. They're about baptism. They're about showers. About John in the River Jordan splashing to beat the band and scrape the mud off of souls so that the nearness of God could be newly perceived and received and welcome and lived. John, said Jesus, baptized with water, but you will be baptized. You will be showered with the Holy Spirit. And soon." Soon? How soon? Why not now? When? The disciples were full of questions that Jesus really had no time or interest in answering. For some projects, maybe it's just best not to set a deadline. This baptism, the baptism by the Spirit, this is a baptism in God's wheelhouse. We're not talking any home improvement project. We're talking creation and recreation on a cosmic level. And so Jesus says, "I promise, I promise, I promise. The Holy Spirit will come down on you." And he leaves. And he goes to the right hand of God to help his dad with a little plumbing installation. A shower. A shower that needs to be turned on so that it can never be turned off. A shower for the baptism of the Spirit. An outpouring that once it started, never stopped. Does Unilu have showers? Yeah. But the showers that matter were never located in the basement of this building. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of living vulnerability in love for the neighbor, that's our shower. That's our daily baptism with which Jesus keeps waking us up in new ways every day, in ways we can't anticipate, but we'll know them when we see them and feel them. A shower of power that, as the writer of Ephesians reminds us, is the power that God put to work when God was raising Jesus from the dead. That shower, that power, not in the basement, but right here. Amen.